Please be seated. Good morning. Before I left the house this morning, I happened to notice in the paper on the cover of one of the sections, a word on what to wear, talking about what the appropriate dress is for weddings, which I thought was timely for today's gospel reading, which is an interesting one. I've been a church organist all of my adult life, and my experience as a church musician has included providing music for all kinds of weddings. And wedding celebrations can be memorable for many reasons, sometimes for how lovely they are, and sometimes for the very interesting, unexpected, unusual, sometimes bizarre things that happen at a wedding. In today's gospel reading, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a very particular wedding banquet. And no matter what sort of wedding mishap you may personally have experienced or witnessed in your life, I'm pretty sure you have not attended a wedding celebration quite like this one. The parable has much in common with the parable of the great banquet, which is recorded in Luke's gospel. And in that story, a man prepares a great banquet, invites many guests, and sends his servant out to let the guests know that the feast is ready. The invited guests make various rather lame excuses for not attending. One has bought a field, one is trying out some new oxen, and one has recently gotten married. The master of the house, who had prepared the feast, gets very angry at their complacency, and he sends his servant out again, not once but twice, to bring in, and the scripture says, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. He also determines that none of those who first refuse the invitation will ever get a taste of his banquet. Now, that parable is fairly easy for us to interpret, right? Those who were called, or the chosen people, have ignored God's invitation, and he has responded by opening the doors and extending an invitation to all of those who had formerly been considered outcast, all of those who would be on the margins of society. Matthew's version that you heard today of the parable of the great banquet, on the other hand, is a lot more complicated and quite a bit darker. In fact, there is a certain Game of Thrones quality to this parable. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Game of Thrones, but it's a very popular series on HBO, and it's very entertaining, but it's also very violent. And this parable has a good bit of violence in it. The main character is a king rather than a master of the household, as in Luke's gospel. The banquet is the feast given to celebrate the marriage of the king's son. The king sends out his servants to let the guests know that the wedding feast is ready, but the guest will not come. Some of those just go about their daily business, which is a little hard to understand, because who would ignore an invitation to a royal wedding? Other guests mistreat the messengers and even kill them. The king, in response, is furious. He sends out his troops to destroy the murderers and to burn the city, which may be his city. It's a little unclear there. Imagine what it would be like to be the poor bride marrying into this family. The fatted calf has been slaughtered and cooked, and everything's ready for the feast, but your soon-to-be father-in-law has rallied his troops and gone off to battle to avenge the family honor before supper. When the king does return, he sends his servants out into the streets again to invite everyone they meet. And those who had been previously invited are deemed to be unworthy. A lot of them have also been killed at this point. The slaves go out and bring in everyone they can find, both good and bad. And just when you think that you may have arrived at the end of this tale, Jesus adds an unexpected twist. When the king arrives at the feast, he notices a man there with no wedding robe. "Friend," he says, and you know the man is in trouble. In fact, the man has nothing to say in his own defense when the king asks why he is not appropriately dressed. He orders the man to be bound hand and foot and cast into the outer darkness. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I've always had a great deal of sympathy, even empathy, for this surprised guest. Haven't you ever arrived at a social gathering and walked in the door and thought, oh my goodness, I wish I'd known what people were going to wear and had dressed in something more appropriately? Maybe that's a woman's thing, I don't know, but you guys get off a little easier than we do on that. The man obviously didn't know when he left home that morning that he was going to end up at a royal wedding. Does he deserve to be kicked out of the party when the invitation had been extended to all? How are we to understand this strange story? One important thing to remember is the context in which this parable was taught in Matthew's gospel. At the point that it occurs, we are in the middle of Holy Week. It is a dark time. Jesus is surrounded by his disciples and by listening crowds, but also by his enemies, the religious leaders of the day, and the tension is growing by the minute. In this parable, we hear about the king's servants, or God's prophets, who have been mistreated and murdered. And we know what is just ahead for Jesus. The local leaders knew Jesus was condemning them in his stories, but they were afraid of the crowds, and they didn't know how to stop him. If you read further beyond what you just heard read, the very next verse in the gospel states, "Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words." Secondly, we have to consider carefully who is being invited into this banquet. The story is not about a distinction between Jews and Gentiles. Those who were first invited are deemed to be unworthy, and those who do make it in include both the good and the bad. This story is not about replacing the Jewish people with Gentiles in terms of being God's chosen people, as much as it is about replacing unworthy followers, especially the current Jewish leaders, with both Jews and Gentiles who are believers in Christ and who respond to his call. So what about the guest who was cast out? He responded to the call to come in. Why was he judged unworthy? The custom of the time was that a host would provide wedding garments for guests in need. All the guest had to do was to accept the garment and put it on. Now, whether we think about this garment in the parable as a symbol for God's righteousness or even for Christ himself, the point is, to be a proper guest at this party, you need to take action and respond. And so it is with us. To be part of the wedding feast in the kingdom of heaven, we need to take part. We aren't just there to be enjoying free food at the buffet line. Make no mistake, this is not about earning salvation through good works or trying to be more righteous than the next guest. It is about being open to God's work in you and willing to grow into the person God wants you to be. At the 8 o'clock service, we celebrated a baptism. And in our baptism covenant, which we all renew whenever we celebrate a baptism, there are vows which are part of being guest at the kingdom banquet. The vows including continuing in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, proclaiming by word and example the good news of God and Christ, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, and striving for justice and peace among all people. We are all called to be part of God's banquet. The problem with the guest in this parable is, as one writer has put it, not that he was not taking things seriously enough. His problem is a failure to party. Theologian Karl Barth writes, "In the last resort, it all boils down to the fact that the invitation is to a feast, and that he who does not obey and come accordingly, and therefore festively, declines and spurns the invitation no less than those who are unwilling to obey and appear at all. So let us be willing to accept God's invitation, put on our party clothes, and get up to dance."